Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. Don't worry, Brother David, we'll be back. We'll look forward to seeing him Wednesday. This morning, we're going to be talking about Simon Peter. I like Simon Peter. I never did like John as well as I did Simon Peter. You know, John just seemed to have it all together. But Peter had his ups and his downs. And I think that probably fits all of us. Ups and downs. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 22, we're going to read verses 31 through 34 and then have some more things to say as we go. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he, Peter, said unto the Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And then Jesus replied, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Simon Peter often said the wrong thing at the wrong time. But occasionally, even Simon Peter said the right thing. You remember it was at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus asked, whom do you say that I am? That Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then it was in John 6 that Jesus asked, are you going to go away? Others were turning away. Will you go away also? And Simon Peter's answer was, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life and thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Another time he said the right thing was in his sermon in Acts 4:12, when he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is not another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So sometimes we all say the wrong thing, but thank God sometimes we say the right thing. And on this Father's Day, let's look at Simon Peter. And I want us to see, number one, what happened to him when he hit the skids. What caused it? But I also want us to see that when you hit bottom, you do not have to stay there. When you stumble and fall, you can get up. And we're going to see that also in Simon Peter. And I want you to notice, first of all, what caused Simon Peter to fail the Lord. He didn't plan to fail. The fact about it is, if you listen to what he said, when Jesus told him, Satan's desired to have you, he wants to sift you like wheat. Satan wants to all of us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to ruin our testimony. If he can't keep us from being saved, he certainly would like to destroy our testimony. Satan had desired to have thee, but Peter didn't expect to fall. He didn't expect to stumble. In fact, about it, he said that he planned to follow Jesus all the way, even if they kill me. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 10 that says, ye that think ye take heed, lest you fall. We never get so high and so mighty that the devil can't trip us and cause us to stumble and to fall. So let's see what caused Simon Peter to stumble. First thing I want you to notice is found in verses 31 to 34 that I just read. It resulted in too much self-confidence. What did he say? Look at verse 33. He said, I'm ready to go with thee. Prison, death, But then Jesus replied, the cock will not crow three times until you're going to deny me. Simon Peter was pretty cocky. Not me. Others may fail, but not me. They may put me in prison, but I won't deny you. They may even kill me, but I'll be faithful to you. Matthew tells us about that like this. It says, Peter answered and said to him, though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, there it is again, that cock is going to crow. Peter's problem was pride and self-sufficiency. I can take care of myself. And yet the Bible said, none of us are sufficient unto ourselves. We need God's help and God's grace. Peter stumbled and fell because of his own trust in himself. And another thing that happened, he's going to trust in himself, so why should I pray? And so he becomes prayerless. You'll see that also in the passage in Luke 22, down into verses 39 and 40. Jesus goes out to the Mount of Olives and he wants his disciples to pray while he goes a little farther and prays. And he says to Simon Peter in verse 40, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And Matthew talks about that same thing and says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. But Peter's attitude is, hey, the devil's not going to get me. I can handle this situation. And so naturally, if I think I can handle it, if I think I'm in charge, if I think I can do what I need to do and I don't need any help, then I'm not likely to pray much and to ask God for his help. So Simon Peter is going to fail the Lord, not only because of his own self-sufficiency, because of the prayerlessness of his life. But I want you to notice another thing about him, and that is that Simon Peter put too much dependency on the arm of the flesh. In the garden, when Jesus is arrested, it is Simon Peter who takes out the sword. Now, it's true that Luke doesn't say who it was, and Matthew doesn't say who it was, but John tells us it was Simon Peter who took the sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And Jesus told him to put it up. But Simon Peter, I'm not trusting the Lord now. I've got a sword. I can take care of this problem. We need to understand the arm of the flesh is never sufficient for the situations of life. There's that passage that we love from Ephesians 6 that talks about the whole armor of God. We need to put on the whole armor of God. It is not trust in our own abilities. It's not trust in the arm of the flesh, but it's placing faith and trust in the arm of the Lord. Because only God can give us the strength to deal with the situation that comes to us in the trials and tribulations of life. Peter's going to be powerful enough to solve his own problem. So no use to pray. I can just use the arm of the flesh, take care of the situation that faces me. Now another thing happens that indicates Peter's going to stumble and fall. And that is that when Jesus is arrested and is taken off to prison, or to trials rather, on the way to the trial, the passage tells us in Luke verse 54 of Luke 22, that Peter followed him afar off. Peter followed him afar off. In our pilgrimage, our journey through the Christian life, the closer we walk with Jesus, the safer we're going to be on our way to the place where God wants us to be. Simon Peter followed him afar off. Stay close to the Lord. Don't lag behind. Too many things can come between you and Jesus if you lag too far behind. Peter wanted to follow afar off. Remember, he had just said, no matter what happens, they may kill me. But now he's following afar off. He'd be willing to die for Jesus, but now he's falling, falling afar off. But another thing to notice about the way he stumbles now and falls, and that is that he just sort of, his fall results in worldliness in his life. You can only imagine this. Simon Peter, there in verse 55, talks about how the enemies of Jesus, they're out beyond, outside of the judgment hall, and they have built a fire on a cool night. We're talking about early hours of the morning now, and they built a fire, perhaps in a barrel or whatever they had, at least a fire, and they're warming themselves, and I can only imagine what they were talking about. They weren't there because they were friends of Jesus. They were there out of curiosity. They want to see what's going to happen, and they no doubt are talking about this Galilean that has been arrested. They're probably talking about how the religious leaders have clamored for his crucifixion, how they want him to be put to death, get him out of their hair and out of the problems of their life. He's causing them problems, and they want to get rid of him. And Simon Peter is standing there. Notice what the passage says in verse 55, Peter sat down among them. Peter sat down among them. I don't know that he said anything. He listened to what they said. I don't think there was ever a time when he said, wait a minute, I know Jesus. I've walked with him for 3 years. I'm on his side. What they're doing is not right. No, he just sat down among them. By his own action, he's embraced what they're saying. You and I can be the same way, folks. When we're in a crowd that's hostile to Jesus and we just listen and we don't say anything, we need to understand. You know, when I was a younger person, I just won't throw that in so you know I used to be. When I was a younger person, I used to be, I enjoyed it when I'd go into a place of business, barbershop, grocery store, wherever it was, and the proprietor would say, come in, preacher! I thought that was an honor until I discovered the real purpose. The real purpose was that all the others in the store would know, the preacher's here now, you need to be careful what you say. I suppose they thought that God probably didn't hear them unless the preacher was there. But God hears us very well, and sometimes we need to speak up. And Simon Peter's not speaking up. He's just joined with the world in a way. I love that passage in the first chapter of the book of Psalms that says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorners. The godly man takes his stand for what's right and stands up and is faithful in his commitment and dedication to the Lord. Dedication to the Lord. Now, Peter's going down the hill, slipping and sliding. And now if you'll notice in verse 56, 59, well, the last part of that passage, Peter's now come to the place where he's going to deny Jesus. Three times it happens. Let me read that to you. It's in beginning in verse 56 of chapter 22. A certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. No. Verse 57. Peter denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Do what? Remember what he said earlier? Though they put me in prison, though they kill me, and now a harmless young lady accuses him of being a disciple of Jesus, and he says in 57, I know him not. In verse 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Simon Peter has denied that he knows Jesus. But that's not all of it. He's not through with his failure yet. We need to watch it also. What does he say in verse 74? Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Immediately the cock crows. That's what Matthew told us. You see, it's possible for God's children to fail the Lord. Peter did. In our Sunday school this morning, we also see that the wisest man that ever lived had a problem and stumbled over some issues in his life. And Peter has cursed, I do not know the Lord. And then Jesus came out of the judgment hall just at that moment. And eye met eye. And Peter, the Bible said, went out and wept bitterly. Simon Peter is defeated. Is it hopeless? Is there any future for Simon Peter in the service of God? Is there any future for any of us who have failed the Lord in the work of the kingdom of God? I don't know what all happened to Simon Peter in these days following. But you remember that early in the morning on the first day of the week after the crucifixion, Jesus is resurrected and alive. And the women come to the tomb and Jesus gives them instructions, the risen Savior. Tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee. Take that message to them, and they go. And Mark tells us this particular passage where he says that the women came and told the disciples what Jesus said. It's recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And they said, Jesus wants to meet you in Galilee. And Peter. I love that. And Peter. After all, he was a disciple, wasn't he? He's sitting there with the group. But I just imagine when the women said, Jesus wants you to meet him in Galilee, I can almost see Simon Peter duck his head. He probably doesn't mean me. And then the ladies added, and Peter. Jesus isn't through with you, Simon Peter. We can see he made some bad mistakes. He got off on the wrong foot. He said the wrong thing. He strayed in the wrong direction. He somewhat messed up with his testimony even. But God is not through with Simon Peter. And when you stumbled and fell, and you probably did, God is not through with you either. There's still something he can do with you. Think about Simon Peter now. 40 days later, 40 days and maybe a little more time after he had cursed and swore that he did not know Jesus, he stands up on the day of Pentecost to preach. I've often thought about that. Suppose I knew someone that 40 days ago they were cursing and they were swearing that they didn't know who Jesus was. And now they're going to stand up and preach. Would I really want to hear them? Would my Pharisaical attitude be, well, I wouldn't cross the road to hear you preach. But God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God who rescues the perishing. He is a God who cares for the falling. He is a God who lifts up the stumblers and puts us back on the right path. And Peter is back on the right path now. His life is going to be entirely different. God is going to use him in a great way. Someone asked the question, well, when did Peter really come to know the Lord? You remember his brother Andrew brought him to Jesus first. In this very passage, he says, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And we often use the word converted as being saved, but it has to do with just a change. And in this case, I think Peter is converted in the sense of salvation, but he's on the wrong destiny, the wrong trip, and the wrong direction in his life. And so he's going to be converted now. After this experience of failure, he'll never be the same again. He'll never have that same defeat again in his life. What God says to all of us is, no matter what the past has been, no matter how many times you have stumbled and fallen, it is time to get up and march on. I've always been thankful for a man who helped me as a young Christian. I had just been saved. I knew nothing about the Word of God. I had no verses memorized. And this dear deacon who lived across the road from us came to me, a 17-year-old boy, and said, I got a verse I want you to memorize. And he gave me 1 Corinthians 10:13 to memorize about temptation and how there'll always be a way to escape. And that was the first verse I ever memorized. The next day he came back and asked, have you memorized that verse? And I said, yes, sir, I have. Quoted, he said, and I did. Now he said, I've got another verse for you to memorize. He said, I've known you all your life. And when you get tempted, I'm pretty sure there'll be times when you'll forget that verse that you don't have to yield. And you'll stumble and you'll fall. He was so right. And he said, you need to know how to get up. He said, you memorize 1 John chapter 1. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess our sins. It's a good word. It really means to speak the same thing. It's really to agree with God. It's not to try to excuse ourselves, try to sweep it under the rug and some way say, well, it wasn't my fault. But rather to agree, Lord, you are right. That was a sin. I agree with you about it. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter experienced that. Forgive us. I like that word. It's like being found not guilty. Acquitted. Forgiveness. But cleansing is even stronger than that. It's wiping the slate clean like it never happened. Satan is the great accuser. I wonder how many times he said to Peter, remember when you denied Jesus? Remember when you cursed? How many times in our life the accuser of the brethren will remind us of our past? But keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the future, and he's our future, and he's our Redeemer and our Lord. Remember. As we come to the close of this message today, remember, whatever has happened, turn your life back over to the Lord, walk close to him, and find there's victory in Jesus. I want you to stand with me now. We're going to pray. Then we're going to sing our hymn of invitation and appeal. And if God has spoken to your heart about anything, or maybe you just need to come at the altar and kneel and pray. But Father, we are here today in the name of Jesus. And I expect many of us today understand there have been times in our life when we stumbled. Help us, like Simon Peter, to learn how to get up for Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.